stimulation for your brain. This is the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show at 203-333-9422. Joining us now is my beautiful sister, Jill Zarin, who has figured out a way to not only be useful and charitable during this time, but to reinvent her own way of doing business. Jill Zarin, hello, and welcome to the show today. Hi, sweetheart.
Good morning. I'm getting molested by my dog right now.
Oh, that's lovely. We can all put that image in our brains. God. In what way is your Pomeranian molesting
you? Well, she licks my face. She jumps on me. I just had to put it down. You know, she, like, attacks my face. Like, she goes all in.
Yeah, because
she,
you
like,
love it.
Pounces
because
it. Well, I let her. It's not that I love it. I let her because that's what she wants to do. So, you know, I can't say no. How are you, my sister, today?
Well, actually, speaking of doggies, Shane is getting spayed right now.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah,
poor thing. You didn't tell me that.
So, she's going
to
be wearing the comb.
I was just listening to your show about the woman who spit. I didn't get the beginning of it, but if I got the whole idea... I mean, it's kind of attempted murder.
Interesting.
I mean, I know that's severe, but that was where my head went. When you said, and she was charged, I thought you were going to say something outrageous like attempted murder. Like, someone needs to set an example that if you deliberately take off your mask to make the, even if you don't have it, I mean, obviously you don't know if you have it or not, but that's why it's called attempted. It's like what you're trying to, the intent is that if you had it, you want to give it to someone. And basically it's a death sentence for many if you do. Not always, but the intent is to injure. I don't think she got, I don't think she was charged with enough. I think anybody who has that malice and hate in them to unprotect themselves, to give that, you know, think of it. I mean, maybe this is an extreme, but imagine, I guess, if you had AIDS and you had a cut or you literally cut yourself and like touch someone with your blood knowing that it could infect them. Isn't that attempted murder? I mean, the idea is that...
So there were a lot of cases about that. There were a lot of cases during HIV time. There were a lot of cases where people had unprotected sex with each other.
So tell me.
And they knew that they carried AIDS.
Yeah.
I have to look through the cases. I don't know that we ever really got somebody for murder. But they definitely... There was liability that attached to them. You know,
Well, how about this? Okay, so maybe a person doesn't go to jail because that... kind of punishes us too, because we have to pay for them and blah, blah, blah. Although you do want to get them off the street and doing it again, especially if they're a repeat offender. You want to lock them up 24 hours a day. But financial, first of all, you know, it's going to cost her a fortune. She's got to get a lawyer. She's got to, you know, it's going to ruin her life. She's got to go to court and all that stuff.
Right.
So maybe that's enough of a deterrent. But a nice whopping, you know, $50,000 penalty to the person who they
no
did
question.
It to might be
yes,
a deterrent.
Yes, you could definitely do a fine. You could easily do a fine. And also,
witness,
there's definite civil liability.
It's
civil liability because...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's an assault, right? So when you have an assault, I mean, you know, leveling something up to attempted murder is... That's like saying if anybody throws a punch, you know, it could hit them in such a way that they could die. But not every punch is attempted murder. A punch is an assault.
But a punch is not with the intent to kill. A punch is a punch. Wow. You don't intend to kill someone. When you take off your mask and spit, you know if you have it, that person could die. I mean, that's idea of us all wearing masks, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I just think that I hate to say it, but I think a few examples need to be made, that people need to be scared shit to try to do that. It needs to be in the news. I mean, I have no tolerance for that at all. And I'm a pretty tolerant person to a lot of things, but this disease is so dangerous. I mean, my daughter and I and Gary, you know, we're living right now selling masks. I mean, that's what we're doing. Allie is making them and donating them and everything else, and it's to protect people. And in fact, everybody in my house gets tested every 2 weeks because I'm making masks and I'm selling masks, and I have to do everything I possibly could to make sure we are not infected. There's no 100%, obviously, but I just got tested 2 days ago. I'm waiting for my test to come back. I don't expect to come back positive. I don't expect to be infected. I certainly don't feel sick. But I can tell you that two people in my house did test positive for the antibody. So they had it at some point. They never felt sick a day. They were completely probably contagious and around me, by the way. One was, one wasn't. And I got lucky. But, you know, I'm doing everything I can to protect people, not to injure them. And anybody who tries, if someone did that to my father, my mother, you, my daughter,
right,
they'll charge me with attempted murder. You know, like, don't do that. Well, and I think that they have to set an example. I don't think a slap on the wrist. I really don't. It's a felony.
Well, okay. They arrested her. That's so that, opinion. You know, that's something.
She deserved
that's
it.
That's something. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, there is the case of an amends. In other words, if the person, like, lost their mind for a minute, they're so apologetic and they're so sorry and they're so this and that. I have empathy. I have forgiveness. And people are entitled to second chances. How she handles it from here on in really would tell me as a judge how to sentence her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
And sorry?
We'll see.
Or is she adamant and standing her ground?
Standing her ground. Well, we'll see. She said she felt it necessary to enforce the aisle rules when this person was walking down the one-way aisle in the wrong way.
By the way, I didn't even hear why she did it. I only heard what she did. Can you tell me why she did it?
Why.
I apologize to the new listeners.
Yeah, because
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being too hard. I don't know what happened. Okay.
Well, this is what's reported happened. Very scary facts. She was at the Big Y in Newtown. Y is a bit like a stop shop, big shopping, big supermarket, and they have enforced one-way aisles to make it easier for social distancing and shopping. Well, she was wearing a mask. It doesn't say whether the other guy was or wasn't. I'm assuming he wasn't, but it doesn't say. And he was walking down the wrong way of the one-way aisle. Okay? Major calamity in the world. And she took it upon herself.
It might have been
well, she told him. Right, exactly. Or maybe he was lazy, or maybe he was flouting the rules, which is what people don't want to behave. You know, a lot of people don't want to do the rules.
Maybe he didn't see anybody in the aisle. Wait, well, he might have not seen anyone in the aisle and went the wrong way.
Anyway.
But then all of a sudden, she showed up. Okay.
So anyway, she yells at him, and she tells him, get back. Get back in your other aisle. You're not supposed to be in this aisle. And he ignores her. He ignores her. So for
I'm sure she said it in a very kind and nice way. Right?
I'm sure. So for the sin of ignoring her, she got so freaking angry that she took her mask off and spit in his face.
Well, first of all, he probably wasn't wearing a mask.
That's what I'm guessing.
But
that's what I'm guessing. No, she was the spitter. She took the mask off to spit in his face.
No, but you wouldn't spit in someone's face who had a mask on because that would be kind of pointless, isn't it?
Right. That's why I'm guessing he wasn't wearing one. That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then how did the arrest happen? Like, what happened from there?
Well, it says, it actually doesn't say, but I guess there was enough of a scene that she got arrested. You know, there was enough of a scene.
You know, I literally wonder what happened so that, you know, she spit in his face. And, of course, she's a girl and he didn't hit her. Otherwise, he would have been arrested. Which would be my first instinct. It's like, you just spit at me. I'm going to punch you out. If you hit me, I'll hit you back. I wonder how the, you know, store management came to be and how they detained her physically from leaving, because I'm sure she tried to leave.
I don't know. It doesn't say here. I really don't know. Maybe she stood her ground. Maybe they, I mean, look, you have security guards in all of these places all the time. Maybe they just stood, said, we've called the police, ma'am. You need to wait. And she waited.
Right. And she did. Because she had her side, because she felt she was right.
Guess so.
Right. So she should be banned from that store for life.
So the moral of the story is don't go to the supermarket. You never know if somebody else had been walking down the proper place in their aisle and they had gotten some errant spit on them.
I mean, and by the way, now that she spit all over. And we don't know if she's infected or not. You know?
Right? Crazy.
We have a caller who wants to join in.
Jill, we have a caller.
Lisa, rabies, I want her tested.
Oh, definitely. Oh, for sure. You know, I agree with you totally. Tested. He would have a right to do that right away. 100%.
Would he?
Okay. Oh, I would think so. I would think he would demand it. And that's where the negligence comes in. That's where, you know, assault is not only a crime, but it's a civil tort. So if somebody beats you up in a bar and they don't get arrested, you can still sue them because it is a wrong from one person against another, and they have to pay damages. They have to pay your pain and suffering. They have to pay your loss of work. They have to pay for that.
Right.
People don't get it. Just because you're not arrested doesn't mean that you're not liable for something.
Are your legal fees covered too in a tort?
Not automatically, no. Not in America.
Okay.
Only in England, not in America. All right, let's go to Donna from Oxford, who I guess wants to join in the conversation. Hi, Donna. Welcome. You're on the air with my sister, Jill Zarin.
Thank you for taking my call. I shop at Big Y all the time. They have somebody at the door. You cannot go in without a mask on. So I'm sure he had one, number one.
Okay.
Number two is only half the customers follow the arrows. Every grocery store has to, or they can't be open. And nobody, even Walmart, their workers, nobody follows the arrows. Probably half the people there do. And it's annoying, so I can understand why that lady was probably so, you know, it's like, why do I have to follow the rules? Nobody else does.
Frustration.
The store does not enforce it.
Well, how do you feel if whether they maybe, is it very clear, by the way? I'm curious. Are the aisles very clearly marked?
Oh, there's arrows. Yes, there's arrows right on every single one. They even, some of the Big Y's even have like a little box right in front so you can go, can't go by to go in the wrong way. At the exit area, they have it. So you can't turn in the exit area, but people just move it and go right down the aisle anyway.
It's people. You gotta love America, Donna.
What do you think about this lady who was so incensed that she took her mask off and spit at him in his face? What do you think?
I don't know, because I got mixed feelings, because I'm so fed up.
There it is.
You say it and you tell that to them and they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I blame the store for not enforcing it, saying, geez, if you don't want to follow the rules, you can't shop here. That's my opinion.
You said half of the people aren't doing it.
Right.
So,
and even the workers go down the wrong aisles.
They're stocking things, I bet.
Right, they're trying to get things on the shelf.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they don't want to take the time to go down the next aisle and
all
come
the way
back
around.
Yes.
Right.
Or if nobody's in the aisle and you forgot something, do you really want to go all the way around to come the one way? You know what I mean? You just want to run in and get it.
They don't care.
Look who's talking, Jill.
You better get into the grocery store and take a look because and see how bad it is.
I could just see Jill. Jill, I could just see you, the rule follower. I could just see my sister, the rule follower. You'd be moving every box to get exactly where you needed to go fast. You say, I just need this one item. Just this one item for me.
Oh, for sure.
Totally.
For sure. But that's what I'm on Amazon. I'm ordering everything online. Chef's Warehouse. That's why I order all my food on Chef's Warehouse. Yeah. I don't have to worry.
I see that either people are one extreme or the other. They're don't out of their way to be nice, or they're so, they don't give a crap, you know, they're so rude, and you say something, you're on the wrong aisle, because some people do make mistakes, or you say they're nice.
Sure.
And they completely ignore, some of them turn around and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, and they'll turn their carriage around, but not the majority of them.
I think you're right, I think it's mixed feelings, and it's a tough call. But I do think that if somebody deliberately takes their masks off and spits on you to injure you and possibly give you this horrible disease that could kill you, just go off with a slap on the hand.
But to me, the store is responsible. If they would enforce it, the rules, it wouldn't be happening.
How do they afford to? Let me. I want to hear this played out. How do they do this and afford to without going out of business?
What could they say to them right at the sign? If you don't follow the arrows, you're going to have to leave the store and not shop here.
But you said half the people are doing it. So
right.
If that means they'll do half the business. They've already been under.
If you enforce it, most people start following the rules, I think.
It's a question of, right? You make an example of some people and the word gets around and then everybody behaves. That's what
you go to a different store. Do all stores have this aisle thing?
Every single one. Yes. Everyone, or they can't be open.
I'm just saying other brands, other
yeah, ShopRite,
like Shop
all of them do.
They all have this.
Walmart,
so you can only go one way down an aisle.
Yes.
Okay. Jill,
every store
let her talk.
Yes, every store has it. Walmart, Target, ShopRite, they all have it.
See, we don't have that in Florida.
You know,
don't have
no.
But the stores aren't that busy, so it's not really an issue of running into people.
Well, here there's quite a few people in the stores.
Yeah. Wow.
So I figured it's just as small fault is Big Y than it is to the person that did it. So there's
thank
both
you, Donna,
to blame. Okay, thank
calling.
You for taking my call. Have
thank
a nice
thank you for
day.
Your point of view. We're going to have to go to messages. Jill, can you I'm going to talk to you about a couple want to stay on?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, we'll be right back. More of the Lisa Wexler Show. My sister Jill Zarin. We're talking about supermarket aisles. We'll get into a little bit of Chef's Warehouse and masks and all that stuff. We're talking about what's happening right now in your life. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.
On air, WICC 600. Online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us, my sister Jill Zarin, one of the original Real Housewives of New York City. More importantly, my sister, and the co-author with me and our mother of Secrets of a Jewish Mother, the wonderful selling book that was translated into three languages and still is available on paperback at Amazon. And so, Jilly, I do want to let our audience know that Nashas for Nurses is still very much up and running. Can you tell us a little bit about this organization that you formed?
Absolutely. You know, yesterday we did an interview with TMZ and Harvey Levin, who, you know, has a lot of influence in the world of entertainment and everything else, could not have been nicer. I sent it to you. Did you see it?
I only saw part of it. I need to see the whole thing.
It's 4.59 minutes long. I can't believe how long he interviewed me on his show, which was just so, I just can't believe it. So Nashas for Nurses started with Ali and I because of your show. We were listening to, and I reminded him of it on the, I think I told him on the show, maybe I didn't on that one, but I usually tell everybody the story. I was listening to your show, and one of your guests had talked about the Clintons donating pizza to one of the local hospitals. This was at the beginning of the pandemic, I'd say mid to end of March. And I said to Ali, gee, we could do that. And, but restaurants were closed because I remember we had a hard time finding a place. So Ali found an Italian restaurant. We sent over pizza, and I still have the first photo of the first delivery. It's this hot guy because he wasn't wearing a mask. Back then, they weren't even wearing masks in the hospital yet to such an extreme. Really, he didn't have his mask on. And that was like the first picture that we have up on our GoFundMe page. And then the whole idea was born. I mean, Gary came up with the name, Nashas for Nurses. We had a lot of other ones like Feed the Frontline, except that there were like 50 million other people who had that one. And Nash, as you know, in Secrets of a Jewish Mother, we have a lot of Yiddish words. And one of them, is Nash a Yiddish word? Or is it a made-up
yes.
word?
No, it's a Yiddish word.
It's a Yiddish word. So a Nash is snack. Basically just a snack.
Right.
And what I wanted to do is to try to spread money, you know, as far as possible, trying to give a Nash snack to as many nurses as possible around the country, because it was not just about the foods per se. It was more about the love, because in any language, in any religion, food equals love. Do we not agree?
Yes, we do agree.
So in every religion, everything, food means love. You know,
yes,
and we wanted to show love to as many people as possible, because nurses, and when I say nurses, I don't mean just nurses, by the way. Everything that we have delivered, although marked to the nurses, it's because they're the mothers in the hospital. Nurses are the mothers in the hospital. They take care of the patients. They take care of the patient's family. They take care of the doctors. They take care of everybody and all the staffing that comes in and out. They organize everything. That's what they're the Jewish mothers in the hospital. So by giving them the food, we knew the food would get
distributed.
Lisa? You know, distributed to as many people as possible. Because people said, why didn't you send them to the residents and to doctors? I said, of course we want them to have food. The problem is, if we send it to residents and doctors, they're in a private room that no one else is allowed in. So that means no one else could get access to the food. And I didn't like that. I wanted it to be more of a communal area. So we had it all mapped out. My best friend Monique is a nurse, and her friend Terry lives in New York. And we, you know, had a lot of help on the ground from people in the beginning to help us get this organized. And it just grew and grew and grew. So if you go to GoFundMe, Jill Zarin, Nashes for Nurses, you will see hundreds of photos that have been taken by the staff in these hospitals around the country. Some of them made signs, like huge signs. I don't know how many hours it took them to make Nashes for Nurses signs. Did you see that? Like,
oh,
like one,
did,
one person held an N, one person held the O, one person held the S. Like, first of all, to make it, I mean, they're saving lives, right? So who had time to make the sign, each one, and then everybody held up one? Can you imagine how long it took to take that photo to get everybody organized?
So amazing.
I know. I can't believe it. I feel like someone, you know, literally had to die for that to happen because it's so busy in the hospitals. I don't even know. I was so grateful. You can't believe. So we got a gazillion pictures because they were so grateful. And the reason, so, sorry, I'm rambling. The nurses are the lifeline in the hospital. And what's happened is, as I was a patient, my husband was a patient at Sloan Kettering, they rely on the families to help to whatever level they can. So I would get Bobby food. I would take him for a walk down the hall. I would order his stuff. I would check on things. I'd make sure he got his medicine. And his pillow fell on the floor and I'd pick it up. You know, a lot of times they can't like move. So if something falls, they can't get it. Simple things like that. Well, guess what? No families are allowed in the hospital. So who's doing that, Lisa? They were already stretched so thin. So thin that they have no time. Now, so first of all, they're doing all this extra work. Secondly, they're isolated. They're isolated from their families. Many of these nurses and doctors do not go home because they're afraid of giving their family. Or if they do go home, they don't share space. You know, they'll wave through a window. They'll go in a back door. They'll sleep in the basement. They don't want to, you know, give anything to their families, especially if they're immune compromised. Then they're isolated at work because they're wearing all this PPE protection. They don't even know who anybody
is.
And then they're protected from the patients. The patients can't see them, and they can't even see their face. I'm a big believer in the visor, by the way. We're selling them and stuff, but I love these plastic visors because then you can see people's faces. But but I know they want the mask because it's a tighter insulation. But I think that the mask is a really great way to survive in this environment right now and be able to see each other. But my point is the nurses and doctors, they're so isolated. They're isolated physically. They're isolated mentally. When Nashes for Nurses shows up, and they kind of know us by now, and 1,000 chocolate chip cookies arrive from Insomnia Cookies, you have no idea how they feel. They feel like they're not forgotten. That's how they feel.
Right.
They're like, oh my God, we're not forgotten. There are people in the outside world who care about us. And that's what it
was. Well,
in
our neighborhood, Jill, in our neighborhood, I just want our listeners to know that Nashes for Nurses fed Health Hospital, which is a behavioral issues, but they also had a COVID unit there. And so you guys fed them dinner on a Thursday night a few weeks ago, and they were very grateful to be thought of and to be remembered. Because as a psychiatric hospital, they also are not normally thought of as dealing with this epidemic, but they have been dealing with it. They've had people that had
everyone
to be institutionalized.
Has.
And, you know, so yes, everyone has. Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone has. And so, first of all, we've never said no yet to anyone, although we will have to start soon because we're running out of funds. We've raised about $55,000. I've spent about $75,000. So what I'm trying to do is we're selling masks and putting some of that revenue into the GoFundMe. It's insane, right?
And where did the other 20 come from, Jill? Was the other 20 your pocket? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's 10. I think I'm out 10 right now. But it's okay because that's what I do a lot of things to raise money for my charity. I do, you know, FaceTime, and I sell myself playing tennis. I do a lot of things to raise money. And so now we're doing masks, and the nurses, so this is the thing, the nurses came to us and said, you know, this is all great, we love the food, you know what we really need? We need masks. And we're like, you're kidding me, right? I can't get you N95s. They have N95s. They don't have masks to go home. They don't have masks to live outside the hospital. And plus the N95s really hurt. I mean, you wear those things for 8-10 hours a day, they hurt your skin, they hurt your ears, because they're elastic. They're not like soft cotton like the ones I have. So anyway, we started selling masks, and we tie-dye them. We have 2-ply, we have 3-ply, and we have all kinds of promotions. And now we're doing, for Father's Day, we're doing a Father's Day box, a 7-day supply, 7 masks for 7 days for Dad. And it's valued, if it was bought separately, at $142, and we're selling it for $99. So it's a great, great value. And so that's what we're doing, Lisa, to try to help. And every mask we sell, we donate. So every day, Allison is packing up masks and sending them to hospitals where we also gave food. So it's been quite a month. And on top of that, you know, Chef's Warehouse, who I met through my friend Christina, has been so incredibly generous. Would you agree?
Not only have they been generous, for 8 weeks they've supplied the meat in order to feed people at the Bridgeport Rescue Mission as well as Norwalk Hospital.
Can you believe
with
it?
The assistance of the Inn at Longshore that has been cooking the meals for them. But Chef's Warehouse has been providing the food. It's unbelievable how generous they've been. And you know, and they're a Richfield-based company, so it's wonderful that they're giving back to our community here.
Right, they pay taxes in Connecticut, so that's always nice to give back. Chef's Warehouse, I met through a friend of mine, incredible guy named Harris, who was just incredible. And he can think outside the box, and he can cut through the red tape. If I can say that. He can cut through the red tape.
Probably
of things, yeah. And make things, right, sorry, beat me, and make things happen. So, and I'm like that too. I'm like, cut out the middleman. Let's just get things done. He sent 4,000
right.
pounds of meat out to Miami so that I could feed Miami Beach residents who couldn't leave their home and didn't have any food because there's like 30% unemployment. And people, there's a lot
right.
of people who are food, what's the word, Lisa?
Food insecure. Food insecure.
Food insecure.
Meaning hungry.
It's a new word I never even heard of. And there's millions of people
yeah.
who are food insecure. They don't know where they're getting the next meal. And I feel so guilty because I you know, I'm Jewish and I have a lot of guilt. My whole life is built on guilt. So I feel guilty for everything I have, everything, even though I've earned it and I, you know, no one gave me anything. I feel guilty that I've got the, you know, God gave me the brain to be able to do things. And I feel like my job is to those, much is given, much is expected. I live that motto. My daughter lives that motto. And that's why we've gone insane. We're trying to feed, trying to mask, trying to give noshes. So Chef's Warehouse, incredible company. I never heard of $2 billion public company who supply 90% of the restaurants in America some sort of food in their repertoire, whether it's hard goods, soft goods, spices, whatever. They have 90% of the better restaurants in the country as clients, and you can imagine their business is terrible. So they had a pivot. The word that came out of COVID is pivot. And they did, and they quickly became an website that you can sell to the consumer. They're still working out some kinks, like 5 pounds of butter might be a little too much for your house, but they've gotten a lot of things down to portion.
I got butter from them in a normal quantity.
Right.
Jill, I just
they've
want you to know, I just got butter from them last week, and it was wonderful in a normal
right.
quantity.
No, they've gotten,
amazing.
What I'm saying is they've evolved. So if you've ordered from them
yeah.
before and it was
yes.
a lot too much,
yes.
go back to the website.
Yes.
Like they had, I think, cauliflower priced at like $7.50, and you looked at it and go, why would it be so expensive? Because it was probably 5 heads of it and it didn't say it. So now they've done a better job
right.
of telling you what you're getting. I think and first of all, their prices are competitive or better. Their meat is the best I've ever had because they own a company called Allen Brothers, which has the best home delivery meat you've ever had. Their fresh fruit, they don't really have a lot of fruit, a few things like strawberries and blueberries. They're not big fruit people. But their meat, their chicken, I swear to you, their shrimp, it's called white tiger shrimp. I never heard of it. Their Chilean sea bass, the best. Now, what we're going to do for you, because I said, you know, not only
amazing.
Are they having financial problems, so are all of us. So what can they do to help? So they did 2 things for me. One is they created a 10% off for us, Lisa, called Jill N, the letter N, Lisa, JILLNLISA. For 10% off, but not your first order like all the other companies do. I know Fresh Direct is $25 off your first order. We're going to give it to you on all your orders. And I say we because I feel
all
like
the orders.
I have nothing to do with it. Every order, you will get
right.
10% if you don't forget to put the code in, which I do half the time. I
right.
forget. And then
you have to remember the code.
That,
yep.
They're going to give 10% to Noshes for Nurses.
Right.
Which is unbelievable right. because I'll tell you why. I'm not a 501c. because I didn't want to have to, like, again, cutting the red tape. People who know me, you give the money to me, money goes right out. We show you pictures. We show you everything. So there's no question of where the money's going. But I didn't set it up that way. So for a big corporation to say yes to me, I'll give it to you, even though I'm not a 501c, because they're not going to get that
pretty
tax
great.
Break. It's pretty great for anybody who understands what I'm
pretty
talking
great.
About. But it's pretty great. Most companies will not do that. So my lawyer sister
That's
does.
Right.
So please go on Chef's Warehouse today. Please, and order something and let them know that you're trying also to help by giving Nachos for Nurses, getting 10% off, keeping a business alive in Ridgefield. Let me tell you, if they go under, the trickle-down effect to us not getting food to
more
restaurants,
people.
You have no idea.
No,
we won't be able to get food to those restaurants. I mean, they've got it's not so easy to build an infrastructure of thousands and thousands of trucks and accounts and setting
suppliers.
Up. Suppliers.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. And you don't want it to be a monopoly. There's only two or three companies like them, and you don't want to have less. You want to have more. You know, you want competition. Otherwise, prices go up. So for
it's a 40-year-old business. It's people that we know in the community that are employed by them. There's a lot of good reasons to support the company. A lot of good reasons.
So
absolutely.
If you do nothing else
Plus
today,
the food
please
is fantastic.
Oh, phenomenal. And you can follow me at JillsAaron.com, and I have a blog of all my recipes and cooking. But I have to say the one thing from them that I really stands out, that white tiger shrimp, I never heard of it before. It has not like a sweet taste, but it has like a really clean, crunchy taste to the shrimp. You can tell I'm kosher. Unbelievable. And I said to the guy, I said, why
don't eat shrimp?
It tastes different. I know. That's what I'm telling you. Then the Chilean sea bass.
Yeah.
I haven't had Chilean sea bass in like 10 years because they took it off the menu. There were all these, I don't remember why, years ago, and it was expensive. It's not a cheap fish, but it's 4 inches thick or something. It's ridiculous. So what you do is you grill it. You don't want to hear a trick to doing fish on a grill? You're not going to believe it. You know,
quick,
Adam C.
very
Banks,
quick, because then we're going to have
ready?
To run.
Mayonnaise. Put mayonnaise on the fish. Don't laugh. And then when you put it on the grill, it won't stick and you won't taste it. No, you won't taste the mayonnaise. You won't taste it. It acts
you
like
promise?
An oil.
Because I don't like
I
mayonnaise.
I swear.
Really?
I hate mayonnaise. I hate tuna. I hate mayonnaise. I know how to do it blind. He did it before he told me. It was delicious, Lisa. I swear to you, you won't taste it, and it makes it even better. So mayonnaise on the fish on both
Good
sides,
tip.
And you grill it. Good tip. All right, Lisa, I
Good
love
tip.
You. Stay safe.
Love you,
wear
too.
Your mask. Wash your hands and do a dance.
Okay.
All
I
right.
love you. I love you. My sister, Jill Zarin, on the Lisa Wexler Show. So much information. My goodness. We'll be right back.